Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You're here with us because you want to cut through the noise, right? Get straight to the core of what really matters, fast. Today, we're peeling back the layers on something pretty central to modern social culture, the festival scene. We're looking at what's, you know, driving the experience for millions in the upcoming year.
And this deep dive, it's a bit unique because our source material is so focused. Laser focused, really. We're not wading through like hundreds of pages of market forecasts or anything. We have these specific high impact excerpts. They're from a document called Festival Wristbands 2025. So it's minimal data, which means, well, every statement we've pulled is basically a headline from the authors themselves.
Okay, let's unpack this then, because honestly, when we first looked at this source, I expected, I don't know, findings about genre shifts, maybe ticket pricing wars, or, you know, some huge new festival location opening up. But the singular, undeniable nugget, the one really declarative statement they centered on, it just changes the whole conversation. The source material contains this statement. The festival wristbands are designated as the symbol of the 2025 festival season.
Wow. Yeah. That's an explosive claim, isn't it? It takes something that's, well, logistical, functional, and elevates it to cultural iconography. So our mission right now, yours and ours, is to analyze the weight of that, the meaning behind this really bold designation. Why would a research document looking at a whole season packed with music, art, unique experiences, why choose a piece of plastic and fabric, a token of access, as its single definitive symbol?
It really demands analysis, yeah, because the language is so deliberate. They didn't just say wristbands were a trend or an important feature. No, they asserted absolute dominance. They slapped that massive "the" right in front of it, which suggests the authors are arguing basically that for 2025, the wristband is the one object that universally captures the essence of the whole festival phenomenon.
And that immediately raises a question, doesn't it? Are the authors just making an observation here? Or are they maybe attempting to influence the cultural narrative? I mean, to hold the status of the symbol, that object, it has to resonate everywhere, right? Whether you're at some massive European rock festival or, say, a boutique electronic gathering in North America, it would have to transcend geography, genre, demographics, everything.
That's really the crux of the claim, isn't it? It suggests this new level of ubiquity. When we talk about symbols, we're talking identity, shared meaning. So for the wristband to hit that status in 2025, it must be the unifying thing, the element everyone recognizes and maybe more importantly, everyone displays.
Precisely. And, you know, this is where we need to maybe introduce a point of, well, potential conflict. We have to consider if this designation is truly just observational, you know, based on what people are doing, or does it reflect the interests of the, let's say, powerful industry figures who commissioned the study? Because if the system of entry is the most iconic element, well, that means the systems providers, the tech companies, are becoming the headline, not the artists.
That's, wow, is a phenomenal layer to add. If the authors are suggesting the system of entry is the icon, they're essentially signaling that the infrastructure itself, the tech, has become more recognizable, more important maybe, than the actual content, the music, the art happening inside the gates. It suggests, well, a massive success for seamless technology, for these unified digital ecosystems.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is what that transition implies about the experience for you, the learner. If the symbol is the wristband, it kind of means the defining festival experience of 2025 is ease, automation, continuous presence. Access basically becomes identity.
Okay, let's ground this back in the actual object itself.
Yeah.
Festival wristbands.
In the past, sure, they were just security devices, little bits of plastic or cloth. But now, well, now they're much more robust, aren't they? They're often your digital wallet, an ID verifier for like bars or age-restricted stuff, sometimes a social check-in device, maybe even a key for personal data storage.
And we absolutely have to remember the longevity element. That's crucial. Unlike, say, a digital ticket on your phone that just vanishes after the event, the wristband is designed to be kept. It's meant to be retained. It's the physical, tangible artifact of the experience. And it lives on people's wrists for weeks, sometimes months afterwards.
Right. And that's totally key to its symbolic power, especially in the social sphere. In this very visually driven culture we have, that retained wristband becomes a critical badge of honor. It's proof. It's like a piece of social currency, especially on platforms where a verified attendance, the whole I was there factor, drives engagement. So the wristband, just by being there, on your arm, post-event, it serves as this continuous visible validator on social media. Which raises another important question, I think. What characteristics must an item possess? or maybe what must it lack in terms of specificity to be the singular symbol of such a diverse season? It has to be common to all, right? Like single artist.
Yeah.
They can't be the symbol of the entire 2025 season. A single venue can't be either. But the wristband, that common denominator of entry and identity, maybe that can be.
Hmm. That brings us neatly to the second crucial part of the source material's bold claim, the 2025 festival season bit. Why did the authors feel they had to connect this symbolic status specifically to this year, to 2025? It implies a sort of break from the past, right, at a moment where this symbolic status really solidified.
Well, if we look at the trajectory, the buildup into 2025, we've definitely seen increased demand for, you know, verifiable, safe social presence. COVID accelerated some of that. We've seen massive investment globally in streamlining contactless payments, access control, all that tech. So the authors likely saw that 2025 is the year where this really robust, multi-purpose wristband technology finally achieves critical mass. Like, it's across nearly all major events all at the same time.
So, okay. Are we moving from an era where the symbol was maybe defined by the content, you know, like the iconic image of a specific headliner,
yeah,
or, I don't know, the mud and pee signs of Woodstock, moving from that to an era defined more by the mechanism of participation? That feels like a huge psychological shift.
Yeah.
Valuing the access token almost over the specific experience the access gives you.
I agree. It's a shift, definitely. But I want to maybe push back slightly on just seeing the past through rose-tinted glasses. Perhaps the authors are signaling that consumers themselves,
yeah,
we, are starting to value the generalized identity, the identity of just being a festival goer.
Yeah.
Maybe more than the highly specific identity of being, say, a Glastonbury attendee.
Right.
And the wristband provides that former identity instantly, universally.
Yeah. That's an excellent interpretation. It's like a homogenization of the identity, maybe driven by the realization that, look, if you go to one massive event, the logistical experience, getting in, paying for things, it's largely the same now, isn't it? Regardless of who's actually playing. So the wristband becomes the shorthand for, I am part of this global festival community.
And think about the economics of this for a second. The wristband, it enables huge data collection, right? Real-time spending tracking, crowd management. So by designating it as the symbol, the source material is, maybe subconsciously, maybe not, highlighting the enormous value that infrastructure brings, the value to the economy of the season. The symbol is powerful because it represents the most lucrative asset, data-rich attendees moving through the system.
Wow. Okay, this analysis gives you, the learner, so much more to chew on than just that initial statement.
Yeah.
We've pretty much established that the declaration is not just about fashion or a trend. It's really about technological standardization.
Yeah. Yeah.
About data capture.
Yeah.
And about a shift in consumer identity towards this more generalized participation.
And this is the aha moment, perhaps. Just knowing that the authors designated this specific object as the most potent symbol, even if you don't have all the detailed appendices about, you know, how many transactions it enables or whatever, that knowledge alone gives you the crucial cultural shorthand for the year. So if you're preparing for any discussion about 2025 festivals, you now know the central unifying cultural marker identified by this source. It isn't a band. It isn't a location. It's the object of entry.
Right. It moves the wristband from being, well, purely logistical hardware, a tool, to being powerful cultural software, representing status, verifiable membership. The authors of the source material, they chose their words carefully. They implied that nothing else in the 2025 landscape better captures the spirit of this mass connected experiential culture.
Indeed. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it suggests the market, or at least the authors of this study, believe the memory of the specific experience. It might fade faster than the physical evidence of attendance. The symbol becomes the retained, verified physical token that defines your participation long after the music stops. This is the ultimate sort of generalization of the entire season.
Okay, let's just cement that core insight one last time for everyone listening. The central assertion, the big takeaway from this source material, is the designation of festival wristbands as the undisputed cultural marker of the 2025 festival season. The short statement, yeah, but wow, it speaks volumes about where the perceived value lies for that year.
It really forces us and you, the learner, to reconsider the hierarchy of importance, doesn't it? Are we attending primarily for the unique content, the specific artists, the atmosphere, or are we attending maybe more so now for the badge of having attended, for that wristband?
Which brings us neatly to the final provocative thought. Something for you to mull over. If the wristband is truly the symbol of the entire season, the single common denominator uniting all these diverse events, then what element? What element of the unique experience did the authors implicitly suggest was diminishing in relative importance in 2025? If the symbol is universal access, that's standardized entry. Did the source imply that the highly specific unique lineup, or maybe idiosyncratic local flavor of a particular event, did they imply that mattered less than simply possessing that physical, standardized marker of attendance? Keep that question in mind as you watch how the global festival landscape shapes up. Thanks for diving in with us today.